Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, welcome to our listener support campaign. It's an event that we do twice per year to help defray the cost of the program, as well as allow me to continue this passion for old-time radio and writing. We're in our fifth year here on the Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio, and we've been through so many great series in that time. Box 13, Let George Do It, Sherlock Holmes, Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator, Nero Wolfe, Candy Matson, and of course this is about close to my seventh year of doing old-time radio podcasting. And between the Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio, my first program, the Old-Time Dragnet Show, and the Old-Time Radio Superman program, and of course, The War, I've put out well more than 2,000 episodes, and I've enjoyed so much bringing you all of these great radio programs. And I appreciate all of your support, particularly on Facebook, where we have close to 2,800 friends, and Twitter, where we have over 350 followers, as well as 6,000 to 7,000 people who listen all over the world. Thank you so much for that support, as well as the financial support that allows me to continue to be able to do these podcasts. It's truly appreciated. As part of our listener support campaign, I'll also send thank you gifts to those who support the program. As usual, anyone who gives $7 or more will gladly send access to our premium site. Those who give $20 or more, when we've been doing these, I've just been offering ebook copies of All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo. Some people have given in each campaign, so I haven't had any additional ebooks to offer. But you can have your choice now of either All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, or one of my fictional works from the superhero comedy series Adventures of Powerhouse, Tales of the Dim Knight, Fly Another Day, or Powerhouse Hard Pressed. Plus, you'll receive one additional gift of your choice. And this time, I'll only talk about different types of options, one at the start, one at the end. And one option we do have is audio dramas. We will gladly send you any one of the Colonial Radio Theater's great Father Brown mystery sets or Perry Mason radio sets for any donation of $20 or more. At the $50 level, we'll gladly send you any Poirot BBC radio play. And at the $100 level, we will send you a complete History of Harry Nile, a radio drama starring the late Phil Harper. That's a complete set, generally somewhere between 20 and 24 episodes, and those will be for downloads. All right, well, we've gone long enough on this opening, so let's go ahead and take a listen to today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The Crystal Lake Matter, Parts 1 and 2.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Tom Wilkins of Amalgamated Life, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Tom. What's up?
Well, at the moment, $50,000 worth of life insurance.
Oh?
Yeah, we got a policy for that amount on the life of one Edward Russell.
Russell? Never heard of him.
That's just the trouble, Johnny. Right now, nobody else has either. 3 days ago, his wife, Leona, over in Denver, filed a missing persons report.
She the beneficiary?
Right.
So what do you want from me?
Find out what happened to him.
Well, how do you know anything did? Maybe he just walked out on his wife.
Now, from what I can gather, Russell was a hothead. Could be he had one argument too many.
It still could be just a guy getting away for a while.
Huh? And why would he abandon his car in a storage garage in Colorado Springs?
Oh.
Yeah. It turned up this morning with part of his luggage in it. Interested?
I'm on my way.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Amalgamated Life Associates Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Crystal Lake matter. Expense account item one, $120.50, plane fare and incidentals to Denver. Tom Wilkins hadn't given me much to go on, so I figured the logical place to start was with the missing man's wife, Leona Russell. Their house was in a moderately prosperous suburb of Denver, a white ranch house with a shake roof. Everything looked neat and well kept, but somehow a forlorn feeling came through to me about the place. Then the door opened, and right away I was sure something pretty bad had happened to Edward Russell. You don't just walk out on a wife who looked like that.
Yes.
Mrs. Leona Russell?
Yes.
I'm Johnny Dollar, insurance investigator.
Oh, yes, Mr. Dollar. Mr. Wilkins sent a telegram about you. Won't you come in?
Thanks. Cooler in here.
I try to keep the house shut up during the day. It helps. Please sit down.
Oh, thank you.
I've already told the police what little there was to tell when I filed the missing persons report.
Oh, sure. This is just a routine investigation, Mrs. Russell. You probably don't feel too much like talking about it, but if you wouldn't mind going over what information there is again.
Well, it was just a week ago that Mr. Russell left.
You were here when he left?
Yes. He told me he was driving up to Boulder on business, that he'd only be gone overnight.
Oh, what sort of business is he in?
He's in real estate.
Boulder, huh? But his car was found in Colorado Springs.
I know. I can't explain that. When he didn't come home on time, I got worried. I called the hotel in Boulder. He never checked in there.
Yes, I see. Did he know anyone in Colorado Springs?
Just business contacts, as far as I know. He might have decided to go there instead of Boulder, but he would have called me.
But he didn't.
No. I haven't heard a thing from him since he drove away from here a week ago.
Mrs. Russell, do you happen to know if your husband had any, enemies?
No. Ed was pretty impulsive, you might even say hot-headed, but I just can't believe that anyone would hate him enough to do anything to him.
Well, we don't know that anyone has.
I know. Funny, the things that run through your mind at a time like this.
Uh-huh. What sort of things?
It sounds funny, but I've almost been wishing he was in an accident or something like that. In a hospital where he might not have a chance to call me, but at least was safe and alive.
You've checked the hospitals?
All of them. I did that before I filed the missing persons report.
Tell me, had your husband been unusually depressed before he left?
If you're suggesting that Ed did away with himself, that's just not possible, Mr. Dollar. That's one thing he'd never do. He just wasn't built that way.
Mm-hmm. Everything was fine between you two.
Yes. Of course, we'd had disagreements, arguments in the 6 years we've been married. Who hasn't? But nothing serious. I guess I'm not being very helpful to you, Mr. Dollar.
Well, I'm sure that's not your fault. You've no idea at all where he could be then, or what could have happened.
No, none at all. Except...
Except what?
Well, I don't know if it means anything or not, but I found this under some of Bill's papers on his desk just this morning.
Travel folder. Crystal Lake. Where's that?
It's a resort up in the mountains. As I say, I don't know whether it means anything or not.
Has he ever been there before?
Not that I know of.
Or mention it to you?
No, I don't. I'm sure he hasn't.
Well, I'll check it out. Thanks, Mrs. Russell. Oh, just one more thing.
Yes?
You're the beneficiary of his life insurance policy?
Yes. I know what you're thinking, Mr. Dollar.
I'm not thinking anything. I'm just asking questions. It's my job.
I know. But let me ask you a question, Mr. Dollar. Do you think $50,000 or any amount of money could possibly make up for Ed?
One thing about my job, you have to ask such nice questions sometimes. After Leona Russell's answer, there didn't seem to be much left to say, so I told her I'd let her know if I found out anything and I left. I looked at the travel folder again. Crystal Lake, pretty slim lead, but when you have nothing to go on, anything at all looks promising. Expense account item 2, $45.20. I rented a car and drove to Crystal Lake. It was a beautiful spot. 7,000 feet high, clean, thin air, fragrant pines, and the clearest water this side of the Jackson Hole country. I parked a moment and looked out over the lake. Oh, great place to drop a hook. But I had a strong hunch that the fishing I'd be doing was of a little different variety. One thing was obvious. There was a lot of money up here. Most of the cabins would be in solid to be called cabins and had their own boat landings. The village was nestled at one end of the lake, a colorful collection of Swiss chalets. I headed for the office of the local law, a deputy sheriff named Ansel Garrett. Tall, thin, raw-boned lad in his early 30s who looked like he'd spent all but the first few hours of his life in the open. Clear, keen eyes that showed he had his wits about him.
Have a seat, Dollar.
Thanks.
Edward Russell, you said.
Yeah, that's right. Disappeared about a week ago. Left home in Denver. Hasn't been heard from since.
So?
So, he could have come here. His wife found a travel folder about Crystal Lake in his papers.
It's supposed to prove something?
No, it doesn't prove anything, Ance, but it's my only lead. Here, take a look at this picture. You recognize him?
Yeah, looks sort of familiar.
You've seen him up here at Crystal Lake?
Yeah, I think so. 4 or 5 days ago.
Well, what do you know? Looks like my luck's changing. I hit the jackpot on my first nickel.
Well, it depends on what jackpot you're talking about, Johnny.
What do you mean?
Well, for one thing, I could be wrong about the identification.
I'd guess you haven't been wrong about many of them in your time.
Suppose he was the guy, so what? Why are you looking for him, anyway?
Mainly to find out if he's still alive.
What makes you think he's not?
Nothing definite. But a hunch that's getting stronger by the minute.
Oh? Insurance investigators are operating on hunches these days, huh?
Once in a while. Just like deputy sheriff says.
Yeah, all right. So hunches sometimes do pan out. But you could be way out in the pasture, Johnny. Maybe the guy just had an argument with his wife and he walked out on her.
Oh, sure, yeah, I thought of that. But then I saw his wife. Nobody in his right mind would walk out on her.
Like that, huh?
Like that. Look, Ants, can you give me any dope on this guy?
No, not much. He came to see me about 5 days ago.
Why?
Mainly to ask me a silly question.
Silly?
Yeah. He asked me if there was a guy named Bill around Crystal Lake somewhere.
Oh, I take it there's more than one.
Yeah, fistful, Johnny. Bill Cullen, who tends bar at the hotel. Bill Jensen, who runs the boathouse. Bill Pickens, who clerks at the hardware.
Yeah, okay, I get the idea. I take it Russell didn't know which Bill he wanted, huh?
Nope.
Well, at least I know he was here at Crystal Lake now. You haven't seen him since, huh?
You know, just once.
Oh?
That same night. He was in the bar at the hotel talking to Betty Norton.
Who's she?
Heiress to the Norton estate. Mining. She's got a big place on the other side of the lake near Lookout Point.
Know anything about her?
Phew, all I want to.
Oh.
She travels at a pretty good clip.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks for the information, Ants.
Yeah, what are you going to do now?
Try to find Edward Russell, alive or otherwise.
That hunch of yours still operating?
It hasn't gotten any weaker.
Oh, just one thing, Johnny.
Mm?
This is a pretty high-grade resort here. Things are nice and peaceful. I like to keep it that way.
Sure.
So don't go off half-cocked, huh?
For instance?
For instance, don't start accusing anybody of murder unless or until you find a body.
And if I do find a body?
Oh, then looks like we'll have to start doing a little accusing.
I left Ansel Garrett's office and walked around the village. All I knew so far was that Edward Russell, or somebody who looked like him, had been in Crystal Lake several days ago, inquiring about a man named Bill, and that he'd been at the bar with a dough-heavy girl named Betty Norton. There were a flock of Bills in town, but there was only one Betty Norton, so I decided to start with her. I drove around the lake to her home, an elaborate lodge-type place that sprawled along the shore. Betty was down on her boat dock in a bathing suit, and she was a pretty elaborate-looking job herself.
I was just going for a swim. Come on, join me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Norton. I'm not equipped at the moment.
Oh, there's some trunks in the dressing room.
Yeah, well, look, I'd like to talk to you about something,
but I don't feel like talking right now. I feel like swimming.
But this is important. It's about...
So is swimming. If you want to talk to me, you've got to go swimming first.
Okay, we'll play it your way.
That's the only way I ever play it, Mr. Dollar.
So we went swimming, and I swam hard, but mainly to keep from freezing to death. The water should have been accused by the feel of it, but Betty seemed to think it was normal. After a while, we climbed back onto the landing.
Wonderful, huh? Ooh. Here's a towel.
Oh, it's great, sure. Only about 20 degrees too cold.
Makes the sun feel better. Yeah. Hot and cold, Johnny. Contrast. That's what puts the charge in life.
Is it? I wouldn't know. Hey, look, do you mind now if I ask you a couple of questions?
Go ahead.
You know a man named Edward Russell?
I don't think so.
I think you do. You had a drink with him at the hotel several nights ago.
So this I do once in a while. Am I supposed to remember all of them?
This one might have mentioned he was looking for a guy named Bill.
Well, I remember now. He thought the bartender might be the one he was looking for, Bill Cullen.
So what happened?
How should I know? I left.
You haven't seen Russell since?
Nope. Haven't missed him either.
Oh, great. And for this kind of information, I practically freeze to death in the ice trough you laughingly call a lake.
Maybe your trip wasn't a waste of time after all, Johnny.
No.
We met.
Well,
What do you do with your spare time?
Well, A, I don't expect to have much, and B, isn't that sort of a leading question?
I'm pretty good at leading.
You must have trouble finding guys to dance with, huh?
Why don't you try it sometime? Huh?
I left on that, feeling like a fly who spotted the web at the last moment. And right now I was feeling just about as useless as a fly, too. I wasn't getting even close to locating Edward Russell. I went back to my room and the phone was ringing. Johnny Dollar.
Yeah, it's Garrett, Johnny, Sheriff's office.
Oh, hi.
Well, you can quit looking for Russell. We found him.
Well, that's good news.
Is it? He's dead.
Johnny Dollar.
Hey, it's Garrett, Johnny, Sheriff's office. You can quit looking for Edward Russell. We found him.
Well, that's good news.
Is it? He's dead.
What?
Yeah, been dead for 3 or 4 days.
Where'd you find him?
In a cabin on the other side of the lake. Your hunch was good.
And expensive.
What do you mean?
It'll cost the company I represent a cool $50,000. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Amalgamated Life Associates, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Crystal Lake Matter. Expense account continued. Item 3, $2.55. Telegram to Tom Wilkins of Amalgamated Life Associates notifying him of Edward Russell's murder. I was reasonably sure the telegram wouldn't make Tom sleep any easier. I headed for the office of Ansel Garrett, deputy sheriff in charge of the Crystal Lake substation.
Sit down. Not good, huh, Johnny?
No, not good. Not good at all. Who found the body, Ansel?
A fellow named Bixby's waiting next door. I figured you'd want to talk to him.
Thanks, I do.
First, though, I'd like you to run over what you know about this deal again for me. I want to know just where we stand in it. People at this resort pay a lot of money for peace and quiet. I don't want to disturb it any more than I can help.
Good luck.
You meaning?
Meaning if you know where you stand in this deal, you're a lot better off than I am, and I've got a strong hunch a lot of peace and quiet's going to get disturbed before it's wound up.
I don't like your hunches, Johnny. You got a way of proving out. Like the one about Russell being dead. I suppose you give me the rundown.
Okay, okay. And I can make it short because there's not much to tell. The company I represent holds a $50,000 policy on Russell. About a week ago, he disappeared.
His wife filed a missing persons report?
Yeah, Leona Russell over in Denver. Mm. She said her husband had told her he was going on an overnight business trip to Boulder. He never came back. His car was found in a garage in Colorado Springs.
His wife couldn't account for it?
No. She said she was completely in the dark.
I take it she's his beneficiary.
Oh, yeah, sure. I thought of that, too. I asked her about it.
What kind of an answer did you get?
Tears, mostly. and a pretty withering look. Either she's completely clean or she's one of the best actresses I've ever seen. The rest of the story you told me. How Russell came into your offices several days ago looking for a guy named Bill, last name and description unknown.
You know, like I said, there's a flock of Bills in this neck of the woods.
Yeah, no. The bartender, the man who runs the boathouse, a clerk in the hardware store, a few assorted others.
I told you I saw Russell having a drink with Betty Norton the same night he came to see me. You check her out?
Yeah, yeah. I had to go swimming with her in that sub-zero lake before she'd answer any questions, though. And then what I got from her was nothing. She said she'd met Russell at the hotel, had a drink with him, then left.
That's all you've got, huh?
That's it.
Well, that's precious little to go on. I'll let you talk to Mr. Bixby. Oh, Mr. Bixby, would you step in here, please? This is Johnny Dollar, insurance investigator. Mr. Clarence Bixby.
Hi.
How are you?
Not too good at the moment.
You got troubles. It was my cabin the body was in.
Oh.
The padlock had been changed, Johnny. Here it is. No fingerprints other than Bixby's.
I monkeyed with it for a while until I realized my key wouldn't fit, and then I pried it open with a big screwdriver.
Mr. Bixby, would you mind showing me your cabin and just what happened?
I guess not. Doesn't matter much now, anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, I was going to show the cabin to a guy when we found the body. He wanted to buy the place. But who'd want to buy it now?
Bixby and I drove halfway around the lake. His cabin was a couple of hundred feet from the edge and had a good view of the water. Well, nice spot here, Bixby.
It was.
You use the cabin much?
Yeah, I haven't been able to regularly for the last couple of years. I got to figuring why I keep on paying for taxes and upkeep on it. So I decided to sell it.
Did you advertise it in the papers?
I did. And first crack out of the box, I got a hot prospect.
He's the one you brought up here to show the cabin to.
That's right. His name's Putnam.
Putnam, I'd like to talk to him.
Yeah, he's staying at the hotel. Probably looking for another cabin to buy. And here we are.
Well, let's see. This is where the padlock was, huh?
That was the first thing I noticed, that the padlock had been changed. The one I had on there was better.
Whoever did it probably pried the first one off.
Yeah, right here is where I pried off the lock this morning.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
And I opened the door. The body was on the floor right over here. Bullet hole in the forehead.
I see.
Putnam turned green, and I... Well, that's not a very pretty sight to find in your own cabin.
No. Well, let's go sit outside.
Mm-hmm.
The dead man, Edward Russell. Did you happen to know him, Bixby?
No. Never set eyes on him before. Why did they have to pick my cabin?
That's a good question. Hey, that cabin about 100 yards away, who lives there?
Oh, that one? Owned by the Butler family. They spend their summers up here.
Oh, maybe they saw or heard something.
No, Deputy Sheriff questioned them. They arrived here 3 days ago. He figured that was the morning after the killing.
I see.
Have a cigar?
No, no thanks.
What does it add up to, Dollar?
Not at the moment, Mr. Bixby. Not much. I sat there and watched Bixby tie his cellophane cigar wrapper into a neat little knot. And I realized that was exactly my situation at the moment. The whole deal was a knot, and I didn't know how to untie it. I went back to the hotel. Item 4 on expense account, $1.75. Telephone call to the dead man's wife, Leona Russell, over in Denver.
It was very considerate of you to telephone, Mr. Dollar. The authorities notified me of what happened. They want me to come up there and confirm the identification.
I see.
You don't think it could be somebody else?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Russell. I'm afraid not.
I guess I'd really given up hoping. All the time I was trying to tell myself he was alive, but...
Yes. Look, Mrs. Russell, have you ever heard of a man named Clarence Bixby?
Bixby? No.
Your husband was found in Bixby's cabin. Did you ever hear him mention the name?
No.
Okay. Thanks anyway. I'll keep in touch. I hung up and sat there a moment, thinking her over. She stood to benefit to the tune of $50,000 by her husband's death. She seemed on the up and up, and yet... Expense account item 5, another call to Denver, to the police department. I wanted them to check on her, but I found out that they and Ansel Garrett working together were a couple of jumps ahead of me. They'd already checked on Leona and established the fact that at the time of her husband's murder here at Crystal Lake, she'd been in Denver. I decided to look up Putnam, the man who'd wanted to buy Russell's cabin. I found him in the bar at the hotel.
Yes, I tell you, it was quite a shock, Mr. Dollar, when Bixby opened his cabin door, a body sprawled there in front of us. Yes, sir, quite a shock.
Yeah. How come you decided to buy Bixby's cabin, Mr. Putnam?
Well, my wife and I had been on the lookout for a cabin for some time. When I saw Bixby's ad in the paper, it sounded like just the sort of place I was looking for.
I see.
So I answered the ad, made the arrangements with Bixby to come up here and have him show me the place.
Mm-hmm. You still interested in buying a cabin up here?
Possibly. I've always wanted a place where I can come for rest now and then, but after what's happened, I don't think I'd be too happy in Bixby's place.
Mr. Putnam, the dead man's name was Edward Russell. Did you happen to know him?
Of course not. Why?
Ever hear of him before?
See here, Mr. Dollar, what is your reason for asking questions like that? Surely you don't think I'm involved in any of this?
No, routine, Mr. Putnam.
Well, I don't care for the routine, Mr. Dollar.
Well, look, I would skip it. See you later, Putnam. What pulled me into action was a glimpse I caught of the bartender. I started remembering a few things. Number one, Edward Russell had been looking for a guy named Bill. Number two, the bartender was one of several guys by that name here at Crystal Lake. Number three, something I saw on the bartender's face made me think he could be the Bill that Russell had been looking for. I left Putnam's table and slid onto a stool at the bar.
Hi.
Hi.
What'll it be?
Is that I.W. Harper there?
Yeah.
And soda, please.
Coming up.
Sort of quiet this evening, huh?
Yeah. Been a little slack this season so far. I imagine it'll pick up later on this summer. Here you are.
Thanks. Must have been quite a fight.
Come again?
You're wearing what looks like the tail end of a black eye.
Oh, yeah, that. No, I've been down to pick up a bottle of mix the other day, and I bumped my face on the corner of the bar.
You're sure that's the way it happened, huh?
Where are you getting at, pal?
Better take a look at my car now.
Insurance investigator?
Yeah. A guy named Edward Russell was in here a few nights ago with Betty Norton. He was looking for someone named Bill. By some strange coincidence, your name is Bill. And by an even stranger coincidence, you've got a black eye.
Okay, Dollar. So Russell did give me the black eye. I traded him a split lip for it.
What happened?
I still haven't figured it out. He was in here drinking. He started talking to Miss Norton. She called me by my first name, and suddenly this Russell heats up. He comes up to me and starts asking me a bunch of questions.
What kind of questions?
Well, mainly had I ever lived in Denver. I told him no, but he didn't seem to believe me. Got pretty insulting, and we ended up outside. He pasted me first, and I let him have one. Then I spotted the hotel manager and broke it off. They left right after that.
Well, why the cover-up about hitting your face on the bar?
Are you kidding? Look, how long do you think a bartender would last in a hotel like this if the management knew he got in a fight with a customer?
Particularly if the customer winds up dead, huh?
Yeah, I heard about the killing this afternoon. Tough, but I must say that guy was asking for trouble. I don't know what was eating him, but something sure was.
You didn't see him after that night?
No. Check on me if you want.
Oh, don't worry, I will. Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
You said something a minute ago that just rang a bell. You said they left together after the fight. Who's they?
Russell and Miss Norton.
You sure about that? You sure she was with him when he left?
Sure, I'm sure. You don't miss any tricks about a guy like that. Hey, look. If he told you different, I don't want to get nobody in trouble.
That's where you and I differ, Bill. There's one person I want to get in trouble real bad.
Who?
The person who killed Russell. And right now, Betty Norton looked like an interesting possibility. I went outside and started walking along the lakeshore in the moonlight, thinking about it. She told me she'd left alone after one drink with Russell. But according to the bartender, she'd lied. She and Russell had left together. The motive stumped me, though. As far as I could figure, Leona Russell was the only one who could profit by her husband's death. Yet she didn't kill him. But Betty Norton, the girl who always had to play everything her way, I decided to have another talk with her and turned to go back to the hotel, and I stopped. Out of the corner of my eye, I'd seen a movement near a tree on the slope above me. A shadow where there shouldn't have been a shadow. I scrambled up the slope. There was nobody in sight. So somebody was keeping an eye on me. Somebody who knew this area pretty well. A nasty thought started pecking away at me. To wit, in getting closer to Russell's killer, I might be getting closer to something else, too. A bullet.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a girl who lied and a padlock that didn't. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. That was probably one of what they did in part two was probably one of the least inventive finding an excuse to recap the plots that we've seen in this run. But other than that, it was great. You've got already an interesting cast of characters, though you have to wonder about someone who goes up to any town and asks, is looking for Bill. Because, actually, I've read somewhere, I think Bill is actually the most common name. Well, let's go ahead. We have some listener comments and feedback and a correction. And sometimes it takes a little while to hear me provide corrections, just because I record shows about 10 days before they air. So I posted the sea legs matter and received some comments. William says, did you notice that the part of Pat McCracken was unexpectedly recast in part four? And I did notice that, and I should have mentioned it, where we had somebody other than Harry Bartell playing Perry Pat McCracken. Anyway, speaking of radio, he found this, RadioGoldIndex.com lists Harry in all, Bartell in all five parts, but I'm skeptical. And the reason that Radio Gold Index does that with the Johnny Dollar serials is the cast is only named at the end. So when they make their entries for the five-part serial, for all five parts, they put the cast as announced at the end of the series. So that's why. Anyway, speaking of Radio Gold Index, the site also confirmed what my eagle ear suspected, and that is that Parley Bear providing the wonderful performance of the not-always-reliable Oscar. What a testament to the man's acting range that he could play bombastic characters like this and also turn a convincing performance as the wet-behind-the-ear Chester Proudfoot, on Gunsmoke for many years. Thanks so much, and you were not actually the only person to notice this. Shad wrote, Adam, Parley Bear was Oscar. I knew it early in the series. I would catch a little Chester at times in his accent. Well, I'm not a big Gunsmoke fan, so maybe that's why I missed it. Kevin also comments, I was surprised at your comment on the actor for Oscar. Perhaps give it another listen and see if you think differently. I listened again just before emailing, and I still think Parley Bear, pardon the spelling, played that part. I thought about that all week, and I was amazed I hadn't heard him play a part like that before. Was he on your top 100? I can't remember, but he certainly made a lot of old-time radio appearances. I'm always surprised at all the places I hear him. Also, Do you remember one of the later half-hour episodes where Johnny was called by a guy named Parley Baron? I always chuckled about that since I think the caller was played by Parley Bear, too. As I learn more about Johnny Dollar, I understand they did things like that fairly often, but that was one of the first I knew of. I love info about these shows you share. Thanks again very much. Well, thanks, Kevin, for the correction, and also say Chris also called it. I won't mention anyone else who mentioned it after this, but to be honest, I thought it was Lawrence Dobkin just because I didn't recognize the voice, per se. And Lawrence Dobkin is an actor who was able to do so many different types of voices and turn in some pretty, a couple of stunning performances on Let George Do It involving dialect. So that was my guess. But I will bow to the popular wisdom and understanding. And thanks so much for the correction and the extra information. Regarding Parley Baron, I have read about it, but I've not heard it yet. One reason is that I don't typically listen ahead a whole lot, except on some of those shows that I'm not going to do for a while. And since I started, basically pretty soon after I started listening to Johnny Dollar, I started actually doing the show. So I think I've heard maybe one or two of the Bob Bailey half-hour episodes of the 180 out there. So we'll have a lot of fun discovering them for the first time together. And we have a listener, Peter, who comments on Facebook, "I just finished up listening to the entire Sea Legs matter at work. Always enjoyable." And then Joshua McLean says, "I love the old-time Dragnet show, and now I enjoy yours truly, Johnny Dollar." Well, thanks so much. I appreciate all your comments. Before we go, I want to encourage you to support our listener support campaign at support.greatdetectives.net. And another item that we have for U.S. listeners, as well as Canadians, we will send a copy of some great old-time radio reference books. You have your choice of any of the Who is Johnny Dollar by John C. Abbott, with Volume 1 covering all of the pre-Bob Bailey years, Volume 2 covering the Bob Bailey years, Volume 3 covering the post-Bob Bailey years, and also the auditions by Dick Powell and Gerald Moore. They also have a lot of great information on the expense accounts and just a lot of great Johnny Dollar facts and trivia. And I use it as a resource often. And again, that's available with a donation of $100 or more. At $250 or more, we will send you all three books. In addition, Michael Haid has a book out called Flights of Fantasy about the adventures of Superman. And we will also send that to you with a donation of $100 or more. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, we will see you tomorrow with the casebook of Gregory Hood, and then join us back here on Wednesday as we continue on with the Crystal Lake matter. If you have a comment, send it to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives.